You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, joined as we have the privilege of being each week by Bill Gertz, one of the preeminent national security correspondents of any time. He writes a prize-winning column at the Washington Times called Inside the Ring, and, of course, is the senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon, the author of six best-selling books, and a go-to guy on matters involving the state of our military and national security more generally. Bill Gertz, welcome back. Good to have you, as always.
Hi, Frank. Good to be on the program.
Well, let's start with some of the writing and reporting that you've been doing lately on China. The Secretary of Defense this week had some strong words for what China is doing in the South China Sea. What did Ash Carter say, and what do you think are the chances the Chinese will pay attention to it?
It's very interesting. The Defense Secretary was in Hawaii for a change of command ceremony, and he gave a very forceful speech calling on China to halt all military construction in the South China Sea. This is the problem that they've been building these islands there in disputed territory, claiming 90% of the South China Sea as its own territory. It's not clear to me if the Chinese are going to respond to that at all. They've basically written off the U.S. as a regional power there. Now the U.S. is coming in late, perhaps 6 years late. This construction has been going on a long time, and only within the last couple of weeks has the administration finally figured out they have a real problem, and that the allies in the region are facing the threat that a strategic waterway, that is the South China Sea, where a large amount of energy resources to Northeast Asia and other freight passes, is now threatened by Chinese control, and this is a real problem.
We're visiting with Bill Gertz. He's taking us on a tour inside the ring, the title of his prize-winning column at the Washington Times. He's, of course, also a senior editor at the Washington Free Beacon. And, Bill, what do you make of the fact that absent really backing up these kinds of pronouncements by Ash Carter, the Chinese will continue to simply discount and perhaps be emboldened by our weakness?
Actually, they have not done very much. Everything has been symbolic. They've launched the Asia Pivot, which is supposed to be a signal to allies in the region that we're a serious player in the security environment. But yet, the things that we do, for example, 2 weeks ago, we sent a single littoral combat ship through the South China Sea in what they call the Freedom of Navigation exercise, and basically it was shadowed by a Chinese warship the whole time. It doesn't send the right signal. Similarly, we had a P-8 aircraft that flew over there. It hasn't been flying regularly, but they flew one over. They had a CNN reporter on it, and the Chinese ordered the plane out of the region as if saying, you can't fly here without our permission. They've also been going after our Global Hawk drones, which are long-range, high-altitude drones that are conducting surveillance over the island reclamation area that the Chinese are active in, building military bases. So I don't think they're going to be dissuaded by a few comments from the Secretary of Defense. There's going to have to be a much bigger show of force in the area for the Chinese to get the message.
Yeah, we've got to have the force to be able to show it, too. And unfortunately, that's one of the key problems, Bill, as you've described with the pivot, is that there isn't much there. Bill, let me turn to another related topic you reported on, a Chinese and Russian cyber non-aggression pact. What's up with that?
Yeah, this is interesting. Earlier this month, the Chinese and Russian signed 32 agreements, one of which was a so-called cyber non-aggression pact, where each side pledged in Moscow not to conduct cyber attacks on the other country. It's more of a symbolic gesture, but it clearly indicates, according to analysts, that the Chinese and Russians are working together to try to reduce the U.S. role in internet governance, basically. This is really a message to the U.S. that China and Russia are going to have their own controls over the internet, and they don't want the U.S. to have a major role as it does now.
Yeah, and we were just talking with Congressman Mike Kelly about this. He's warning of exactly that, and that in particular, if you in fact cede more control, not just let them take it, but actually cede it to them, that it will greatly diminish the likelihood that the internet will be anything like it's been in the past, an engine for free information flows and economic innovation as well. Bill, let me turn to another topic you've been covering. Of course, Iran is much in the news these days. An old friend and colleague of mine, Robert Joseph, was talking about this deal of the president's. What did Ambassador Joseph have to say?
Well, he said it's basically a deal that's going to assure that Iran becomes a nuclear missile power. And he pointed out that there were problems with verification, there were problems with our missile defenses are being cut at a time when the Iranians are building up their long-range missile forces. This was a speech that he gave earlier this month on missile defense, and he basically said the nuclear deal was going to assure that Iran emerges as a nuclear power, and I think that's an alarming statement. Obviously, the Obama administration has made getting a deal with Iran its highest priority. They're making concession after concession, and it's a extremely dangerous situation for the Middle East to see the emergence of a nuclear missile-armed Iran.
It is indeed, and not just the Middle East, unfortunately. Those missiles will, as you know, Bill, be increasingly capable of reaching us, either by being born on a ship close to our shores, as we've been worried about for some time, or even having intercontinental range. Bob Joseph in the past has particularly been seized with another piece of this, which is if we put $50 billion in the hands of the Iranians for a signing bonus, as it's been called, as President Obama seems intent on doing, that money can very easily wind up in more nuclear capabilities, more missiles, more terrorism, but also more efforts to undermine others in the region. And Bill, finally, talk a little bit about what the Iranians are doing in Yemen and its strategic implications.
This is a real bad situation. The Iranians, according to recent U.S. intelligence reports, are stepping up the number of fighters they're sending. The IRGC Quds Force, as well as Lebanese Hezbollah, are being dispatched to support pro-Iranian rebels who control a large part of the strategic Arabian Peninsula state of Yemen. And the target they're after is the Bab el-Mandab, which is the strategic choke point on the Red Sea, which a huge amount of oil and U.S. warships pass on their way from the Mediterranean. If they get control of that, they'll also get they also have control of the Strait of Hormuz, and you combine that with a nuclear capability, and you have the situation for coercive diplomacy at its worst. They're also after the Saudi regime. They want to try and oust the Saudi regime. So they're trying to establish a beachhead in Yemen to conduct subversion and operations on the Arabian Peninsula.
We have also had in the past couple of days, including just recently, a series of attacks that the Islamic State has taken credit for in Saudi Arabia. Bill Gertz, very quickly, do you think that the Saudi regime is in trouble from one or the other, or maybe even a pincer movement from these two foes?
Absolutely. I think that the rise of ISIS in the region is definitely a threat. It's a growing threat. They're expanding way beyond Iraq and Syria into the Arabian Peninsula, North Africa, as well as Pakistan and Afghanistan, and as far east as Malaysia.
This is the danger that I think is going unnoted, especially as we take for granted cheap oil prices. If one or the other of these things eventuates, the choke points being cut off, Saudi Arabia falling, Bill Gertz, stand by for economic shocks of the first order. Bill, as always, we appreciate the work you do at the Washington Free Beacon and the Washington Times, as well as your visits with us each week. Keep it up. We'll look forward to talking with you next week. Next up, Colonel Richard Kemp. Doubtable British military veteran and extraordinarily clear-eyed thinker about the developments in the Middle East, notably with Hamas. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.